Last week we introduced a sermon theme, or a congregational theme for this year, Lord willing, 2018. From the inside out, and it starts with the heart. And I want to continue that line of thinking this morning as we look at that passage that Cody just read for us. Last week we studied in Matthew chapter 22 and Matthew's account of this same episode. Mark's account differs a little bit. In fact, with the wording that the words that Jesus said on this occasion, it's the same situation where one of the scribes, the teachers of the law, came. He had heard this interchange between Jesus and some Pharisees and some Sadducees, and he asked, "Which is the first commandment of all?" I want you to notice Mark's account and Jesus' answer again. "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.'" And this is how Mark's account differs with Matthew's. Mark's account includes this phrase, "and with all your strength," or "with all your might." Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus is, in summary, saying, love God with everything that you have and everything that you are. But yet Jesus, and he's quoting the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, for that loving God supremely passage, he does break it down into different components of our being, our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strength. And this is the question I'd like for us to think about a few moments this morning. What does it mean to love God with all of our strength? As opposed to our heart, soul, and mind, what does it mean to love God with all of our strength? Again, Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and with all your strength." This is part of what the Jews call the Shema, something that those pious Jews would recite at least twice a day. And it was the anthem, if you will, of their covenant commitment to their God. And so they would recite this passage. And no doubt that's one of the reasons why this expert in the law commends Jesus for his answer. And also love the heart of that expert in the law, because he seems to have a better grasp and realizes that what Jesus has said is certainly true. And he acknowledges that. And Jesus even says to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." Because to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength is the first and foremost commandment. The word strength or might there is most often in Scripture, in the Old Testament, translated very, V-E-R-Y. It's used as an adverb. And so the noun version occurs here in Deuteronomy and also one other place, and that's in 2 Kings 23 and verse 25. And it's about good King Josiah. And notice what it says. "Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength," or all his might, "in accordance with all the law of Moses." But if that word was used in the Old Testament as an adverb, meaning very, what does it mean to love God with our veriness? Interestingly, the Greek translation of this word is power. The Aramaic translation is wealth. But maybe all these things are pointing to something. For the strength of a person is not simply who that person is, but everything that person has at his or her disposal. If Moses' call to love the Lord starts with our heart and then moves out to our very being or our soul, could not our veriness be one step bigger and include all of our resources? Perhaps this will sum it up for us. We love God with all of our strength when we utilize all the gifts and resources He has given us to serve and glorify Him. all of our resources, everything that I am, everything that I have is included in my strength. And to love God with all of my strength, all of my might, means everything about me, everything that has been entrusted to me, I'm using to demonstrate my love for God in His service. Our strength, therefore, would include our talents, our time, and our treasures. Let me tell you a story. Actually, I'm going to read it to you. And I want you to read it along with me from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus tells a story, a parable, that I think gives us an idea of what it means to love God with all of our strength, all of our might, all of our resources. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 14, we call it the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over the few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Perhaps we should begin by noting talent here was a sum of money, and it was a large sum of money, several years' wages. So don't think that the one who had just received the 1 talent, that was a small sum. That was a very significant sum. But let's go back into this parable and find 4 principles that relate to loving God with all of our strength. And the first one is this, the idea of ownership, ownership. When the Lord entrusted those talents to his servants, the 5 and 2 and 1 talents to his servants, who owned those talents? And the answer is the Lord owned them. He entrusted to them his goods, the scripture says. He entrusted his property to them. He retained ownership. And the man here, the master, refers to God himself. And the understanding is that all things belong to God. All things belong to God. And all means all. And that means everything that I have, all the possessions I have, ultimately belong to God. They're not mine, they are God's. So that's one principle we need to keep in mind. A second principle is this principle of allocation. God has entrusted some things to my care. God retains ownership, just like in this parable, this story that Jesus was telling. It was the master's talents, but he entrusted them to his servants for them to use to accomplish his purposes. Each servant in the parable was given a talent, a sum of money. Each received at least one according to each one's ability. And by application, it means to us that all the abilities, the resources, the skills, the opportunities that God gives us, our time, our talents, and our treasures, they belong to God. But he's entrusted these things to us to use them for his glory. God retains ownership, but we are managers of the blessings that he's given to us. A Bible word for that is stewardship. Stewardship. You want an example? Look at Joseph in Potiphar's house. Joseph was in charge at Potiphar's house. Potiphar left everything as far as the household affairs under the control of Joseph. Potiphar retained ownership, but Joseph was the manager of the house. Potiphar's wife is another story. But the idea of stewardship is seen in Joseph's role. You see, our talents, our time, our treasures, the totality of our lives are gifts from God. And he entrusts us to them while retaining ownership for us to use to his glory. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Or whatever gift he has received, each one has received, use it to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. A third principle is utilization. Utilization. God expects me to use my resources in service to him. In Jesus' parable, you notice that the master went away on a journey. But when he came back after a long time, he settled accounts with them. He wanted to know what his servants had done with those sums of money. And the five-talent man had doubled his money, the two the same. But the one, out of fear, had dug a hole and buried it. He didn't want to lose it. He's afraid of misspending it, we presume. And the Lord rebukes him for that. The lesson is God expects us to use our resources in service to him. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Because number 4, there's this principle of accountability. One day I will give an account of my stewardship. Just like these three servants did in Jesus' story, each of us will give an account. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? Again, he praised these servants who had doubled their money, who had wisely invested it and used those things to bring glory to their master. And the master's response to the servant who failed to use that single talent was strong. And it was a strong rebuke. But notice again what he says to those servants who used the talents wisely. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You could break it down these three things. There was affirmation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be wonderful to hear from our Lord? Well done. You used well what I entrusted to your care. Well done, good and faithful servant. There's promotion. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And there's also celebration. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Come and share your master's happiness. One day, each of us will give an account of how we've used the blessings that God has entrusted to us. But the question we've been exploring is, how do we love God with all of our strength? How do we love God with all of our might? We love God with all of our strength when we utilize all the gifts and resources He has given us to serve and glorify Him. And that would include, our strength would include, our time, our talents, and our treasures. Speaking with Lester Sellers after class this past Wednesday morning, and he made this statement, and I had to write it down. I said, I'm going to use it, and I'm using it today. Don't give God what's left. Give God what's right. Left and right. Don't give God what's left. Don't give God the leftovers. Give God what's right. And what's right? What's right? What's right is to love God with all of our strength, our time, our talents, our treasures. We should desire to give God, because of our love for Him, what's first and not what's left. We should desire to give God abundantly and not only reservedly. We should desire to give back to God of our time and our talent and our treasures, because out of a cheerful heart and not out of a begrudging heart. And what's the motive? Why would we want to love God that way? It is a commandment, but there should be a deeper reason. That's because of His love for you and for me. Considering all that God has done for us, it should not be a difficult thing to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Because one of the greatest blessings we've ever received is what Ross talked about as we observe the Lord's Supper, is the gospel, the good news, that God sent His Son to die for our sins according to the Scriptures, to be buried, to be raised again according to the Scriptures. And the good news of His death, burial, and resurrection is that you and I can be saved from our sins. We can live a life dedicated to glorifying Him in every aspect of our lives. And because of what He has done for us, we can look forward to an eternal home in heaven. Again, because of what He's done for us, it should be the constant and natural thing for us to respond by loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and our strength. Perhaps there's one or more this morning that's ready to obey the gospel, to be buried with Christ in baptism, to be raised to walk in newness of life. We hope and pray that if your studies have brought you to that place, that you'll obey the gospel even this morning. It may be that you and I haven't been loving God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and we've allowed our love to be dispersed in other directions, and we need to put the Lord first again in our lives and in our loves. If that be the case, if you need the prayers of the church to that end, we invite you to come. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?